wake up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
You know what? That part of the sports season where, because the NFL, every game is important, right? Every game, like the season really matters. It's over. There's such a gap. The end of the NFL season into whatever else we're looking forward to, whether that's March Madness or April and the Masters and the draft and the start of Major League Baseball season, whatever that's coming up, that other sports really don't get. I mean, when baseball ends, we're right in college football and we're right in the NFL season. So it's like, thanks for baseball. We're moving on to this new other thing that we like. When the NBA and the NHL end in June, that is a really kind of void spot in the sports calendar. But it's the summer. Kids are out of school. You're going on vacation. You're kind of gearing up for the NFL season anyway. So it doesn't feel as much like you're going to be missing something. But the NFL, when it's done and it gets done in February, there does seem to be this void that needs to be filled. Even though we've got college basketball that's ramping up a little bit, NBA is starting to tighten up because we're getting closer and closer to when games are really going to affect the seeding in the playoffs or a potential playoff run. But it's always been like that with the NFL. When it leaves us, when the Super Bowl's over, there just feels like this gap. And that's where I think this new league, this AAFL, wants to take advantage of it. We had a weekend of these games. We had four of them. It's an eight-team league. We had four of them. The ratings were spectacular. I don't know if the ratings hold up. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But I think that this is what these minor league NFL, XFL type of leagues, what they can do this, but they have to do it in a way that is still entertaining and still viable. And I think the AAFL did that this weekend. Again, long-term projection for the league, if it stays what it's supposed to be, which is a minor league, a place for guys to get playing and to keep playing in order to get noticed down the road, I think it has some viability. If it does that thing like the XFL tried to do or the USFL tried to do, where it thinks it's going to be a little bit bigger than it actually is, then it is problematic. We're going to discuss that coming up. What was right about this league this weekend and what can it improve on? Couple of thoughts as we progress this morning on SB Nation Radio.
SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so the AAFL or the AAFL or the Alliance of American Football League, however you want to pronounce it, whatever they're calling themselves, made its debut this weekend to sort of fill the football void that were missing since the Super Bowl wrapped up last week. Did it work? Well, the ratings were good. 2.9 million people tuned in to some games on Saturday. It beat the ratings of the Rockets-Thunder game that was on ABC. Americans love football. We like football in whatever form we can get it. But here's the thing. I don't go crazy over initial ratings. Because I remember, I'm old enough to remember, when the XFL did the exact same thing. When Vince McMahon launched the XFL in 2001, actually, he had great ratings in week one, right? I think the Las Vegas team was showcased in week one. He hate me. And everybody wanted to tune in. Everybody wanted to see what that was like. And the ratings were spectacular. They were great. And it looked like, oh, this is a league that's here to stay. And then steadily, week in and week out, the numbers were down, and they just keep going down. Because there's always a curiosity factor that you have to throw into this thing. Do I think the AAFL is a better league than the NBA because it got better ratings on a Saturday night? No, the NBA is still in that still in regular season mode. I think there's a curiosity for this new league. But it does go to show you that we will watch football in large numbers, even if we don't know anything about the league or we don't know anything about the players that are playing in this league. Some of the names are familiar, some are not. But people, here's the thing. If you go to Twitter, people on Twitter who were watching Saturday seem to like what they were seeing. They liked the league. There was some talent there. They liked the rules. They liked the hitting. There was one play in particular where the quarterback got sacked and his helmet flew off, and there were no flags for unnecessary roughness or anything like that. It was real smash-mouth football, which, if you go back to the XFL, is one of the reasons Vince McMahon wanted to start that league in the first place.
Oh, it was
so entertaining. I watched very little. I watched very little last night. I watched Utah-Arizona just to see what all the fuss was about.
So
I didn't watch last night.
I missed last night, but I did watch Saturday night watching San Antonio versus San Diego.
Was that good? Did you like it?
You know, it was
the San Antonio Fleet.
No, San Diego Fleet.
San Diego Fleet. San Antonio
Commanders or Commanders or something like that.
Commander, yeah, okay.
I don't know. We'll learn the names as we go along.
We go along, right?
You know what? I mean, the quarterback play is atrocious.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But this, I wasn't tuning in to say, oh, you know what? Let me see the next Tom Brady out there. I wasn't watching for that. Just wanted to watch football.
So let me ask you this, because I was watching it as a research thing. I wasn't watching it for entertainment. I was actually like, let me see what this is about, because I didn't watch Saturday. And then I went on Twitter and I was like, man, this thing seems pretty good. Like, maybe I should be watching this. So I went to watch it. But my problem with sports is I can watch a game, like I can watch a college basketball game that I have no vested interest in. Like I don't need to root for something. I don't need to have money on a game. I can watch an NBA regular season game. I can watch a college basketball game. I can watch a college football game. I can watch a baseball game. I don't need a vested interest in it. But with this, I watched it to find out what the league was about. What were the average fans watching for? Just to see some sort of football on their television? I mean, what were they into in watching this over the weekend?
See, I'm curious about as well.
Because that's the one struggle minor league sports has. Like, it's not so much college. Like, college is a minor league level, but we get it. Like, we kind of already go, we understand what college is. But when you give us, like, minor league baseball, like, I don't want, every now and then when they put minor league baseball on TV, I don't go, oh, I got to see this between the Reno team against like Rancho Cucamonga. I go, I'm not going to watch this. Like every now and then the G League will be on like NBA TV. And I'm not like, no, I can watch this. I'm watch something else. But with this, I found myself compelled. Like I really wanted to see it. Like I really wanted to see what the fuss was about. And I wonder if it's what the NFL is not doing anymore. If we have a taste for that, like, man, some of these hits were incredible and yet no flags, like no flags on the quarterback. Guy lost his helmet. In the NFL, that guy would have been fined for life.
Yeah, he probably would have been kicked out of the game, too.
Kicked out of the game, probably kicked out of the league. They probably would have asked for his two kids.
And all he did was put his helmet into the numbers.
Right.
I mean, it was tackling 101. I mean, the fact that his helmet came off, you know, maybe the guy didn't have his chin strap on too tight. I don't know.
It seems like fans enjoyed it. It seems like people who went had a good time. That's always a plus. You know, when I worked in minor league basketball, because everything on that level is local, 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 local. You're trying to get people into what's going on. You're trying to get people like into the team, and there's a step you have to take. With this, the part of the selling is football. Like you don't have to go that far. It's football. You'll love it. Come out and see it. And most of the places don't have a professional team, or I think Atlanta does. Like Atlanta has a team, but like Orlando doesn't, Birmingham doesn't, Memphis doesn't, San Antonio, Utah, San Diego. They all don't have professional NFL teams. So this is kind of a cool thing. We have a professional team. Yes, it's not the NFL, but it's kind of cool. And there's big names attached to it. Like if I'm in Florida, if I live in Florida, I'm a Gator fan. I live in Florida. I definitely would pay attention to the Orlando team with Steve Spurrier on it. I definitely would want to see him do something, maybe fun and gun, just to see him coach again. You know, yeah, sure, it wasn't that long ago that he was at South Carolina, It's kind of cool that Steve Spurrier's in the league. Mike Martz is in the league. Some players we know, like first-round pick Trent Richardson, is running the ball for Birmingham. Christian Hackenberg is in the league. Michael Vick is he still an OC in Atlanta, or did they remove him or something? I saw some news about that.
We removed him after one game?
I don't know. Sad. I thought before the season they redefined his role, so he wasn't really the OC. I saw something.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Michael Vick is in the league doing something with the Atlanta franchise.
I know very little about this league. I want to know more, and I think that's what part of the appeal of what we watched this weekend was.
Did you find yourself liking it? Did you find yourself going?
I was entertained.
This?
No, I was entertained. I can wholeheartedly admit I was entertained by what I was watching.
Yeah, because I liked it.
Was it perfect football? No, I mean it looked like honestly, it looked like every team had Nathan Peterman.
Yeah, exactly. Like we say before, there's only like 20 guys that can play quarterback at a high level.
Right.
If that.
But what I like about this league is that
you really get a scrub as a league.
What I like about this league, I mean, it's not trying to be the NFL. It's not saying, hey, you know, we're the next best thing. They're just, you know, it's like, hey, you guys are starving for football. You guys love football. We're in a period of time where there is no football. I mean, they start up immediately after the Super Bowl. And it's just an opportunity for us to, you know, it's like, you know, yeah, we like how the game is played. And I think they're going about it more from a player and fan perspective.
See, you know what I like about this, though, is that if you can bridge the gap a little bit between the level of play at the college level and the level of play at the NFL level, even if it's small, if you can just somehow become a place where the playing talent gap, it fits into that league, that's going to do a lot of players a lot of good. Like if they come out of college and they go through the combine and they're not quite ready for the NFL, but there's some raw talent there, I think this is the kind of league that would be great for them. No, it's not NFL speed, but minor league baseball isn't where you get the major league pitching. You know, minor league hockey isn't where you're going to get stellar goaltending, right? But it is a place to go that's better than college. That's not quite the upper level, but it's the middle of the road, so you can start working on those skills instead of being on a practice squad, instead of, you know, working out at a place in Arizona, going to the CFL, or trying to find another way to get your skills up to the NFL level. If this is a league where an NFL team says to a guy, look, you got some raw talent, but the speed of this game, you're going to have to work on a few things, go to the San Diego Fleet for a year. Let's see if we can develop that and we'll, you know, see you next year or whatever. I think this will be a good place. This could be a good league. Because you're right. If you are watching this thinking you're going to see another level NFL, no, you're not going to see another NFL level. Not at all. But it is what it is. If you are watching a college basketball game expecting to see NBA level play, that's not realistic. And nobody does. But it's football and it's at a time where there is no football. And you know what? There's recognizable names in this thing, and latch onto a team and jump on it. So even if it's not in your city, like I'm wondering, maybe I jump on the, I live in Nashville, maybe I jump on the Memphis Express and ride that for a little bit. I don't know. Maybe Birmingham, it's about the same distance from me. I don't know. Maybe Orlando, because I like Spurrier, because I just like the way he talks. But find a kind of a rooting interest and have some fun with it. And if you do, this might make it.
And that's all it is. I mean, you don't, the beauty of this is that you don't have a vested interest in one particular team. So, yeah. You know, that team's not going to make or break your heart. Now you have special ties. Like, you know, I lived in San Diego for a long time. It's like, I would like to see the San Diego Fleet do well.
Sure.
And so I found myself polling for San Diego Fleet. I mean, they lost and the guy threw a terrible interception late in the game. I don't even know what he was doing. But it was, you know, but I found myself entertained. I was like, you know what? This isn't half bad. This isn't what I thought it was going to be. It isn't XFL 1.0.
Right. Right.
And,
exactly.
When the XFL came along, it was like, all right, you know, yeah, we're good. We want Smash Mouth, but it seemed too gimmicky.
Right. Exactly. And that's what I want to hit up on is this XFL-ish? It didn't seem like it to me.
It didn't. It just seemed like, hey, this is another league. We have a few different rules than you're accustomed to that's going to set this league apart. I mean, it's, you know, basically it's almost like watching a CFL game.
Yeah, exactly. All right, 800-777-2907. Did you watch the AAFL over the weekend? If you don't, your thoughts, you can also hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. Coming up, the difference between this and what the XFL was and what is and what the XFL may be when they launch in 2020, and the two are very different. That's next on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Cold out there, your vehicle needs some extra attention. O'Reilly Auto Parts has everything you need to keep your vehicle toasty warm, from choosing the right antifreeze for your engine to replacing your windshield wiper blades. O'Reilly will help you get your car or truck in fighting shape this winter. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. It was warm this week in Nashville, and then it got really cold again, and I was so mad. So I wanted to go like do something nice outside, like go get golf balls or something. It was where it was mild. Like I remember Wednesday, it was like 68 degrees and was pushing 70 on. But then, boom, this cold front came in. It was freezing all weekend. So remember, get your, you know, your vehicle needs some extra attention when it's cold outside. By the way, they give advice where they say don't warm up your car. Like if you live in really cold weather and people like to warm up their car in the driveway, like they'll go turn the car on and they'll go back inside. They say that doesn't really do a lot. You want to get the car moving. You want to get the oil through the engine. I don't know which is right. I've done that my whole life. Like growing up in New Hampshire, I used to warm up the car. I used to go out, turn it on, go back inside. And now I'm seeing reports that no. You try to get the oil moving in the engine a bit. So don't let it sit for a while. Drive the car around to get the oil going. And when the oil goes and it heats up, it'll be better for your engine.
No, sometimes I think you just need to warm up the car just so you can sit in it.
I don't want to sit in a freezing vehicle. I hate that. I need my car to be warm. Like, I'm always jealous of my friends with fancy cars with heated seats. They're like, yeah, my car is a heated seat.
I got heated seats.
Do you like it?
Yeah, yes, I do.
I didn't buy that version of my car when I bought it.
No, what I want
all the other
is,
little dash things that are fun, but I didn't get the heated seat.
See, I want the kind where you just start it with your key.
Oh, yeah.
From inside,
yeah.
You're just...
Yeah, my wife has that.
That's kind of nice.
Starts a car. I hate that because I got to go out. I don't have a key. Like, my car doesn't have a key. It's one of those, you know, fobs things. You just sit in the car, and if it just detects the key.
See,
but still not good enough
for
to
that.
Start
that's
it.
Fancy.
No, that's great. I like that, and I got the dash. It has all the gizmos on it, like, you know, touch screen and all that stuff. But I didn't get heated seats. Like, I needed heated seats because as I'm getting older, I'm complaining more about the cold, even though it's not frigid in Nashville. I'm still complaining about the cold more.
Yeah, I find myself doing that too, and then I realized, you know what? I would never do well in Minnesota.
No. But that's the coldest I've ever been. Coldest I've ever been was going to the Mall of America one time in February. And I grew up in the Northeast, and it was the coldest I've ever been by a mile. It's that in a New York Giants football game that I went to in 1989 were the two coldest I've ever been in my entire life. When I still remember, like, Dan Fouts always talks about the AFC Championship game against the Bengals, you know, because it was like minus 58 with the wind chill. Like, those are the two moments in my life when I think about them, I remember just the pain of cold. Freezing it was.
That bite.
At least the football game wasn't so bad because we were at a football game. That was kind of cool. But, like, walking, like, from the parking lot to Mall of America in Minnesota in February was atrocious. Like, I just couldn't wait to get inside. This was too much. So it was windy and just like it got to your bones. So this AAFL and the XFL. I remember the XFL. Listen, I was living in Vegas in the late 90s, early 2000s. I remember Vince McMahon. I've been to a zillion press conferences. Okay, too many to count. There are very few I remember really, really in deep details. The Vince McMahon XFL press conference that I went to in Las Vegas around 99-ish, maybe 2000, was the one I remember so vividly because I remember some of the questions that we asked him and how he answered them. And the thing that I remember the most was he hated the NFL, like as a product. He hated it. And you remember, think about where what we talk about the NFL now. Like this was 19 years ago. The NFL now, right? What do we always joke about? Put flags on these guys. You can't even hit guys to this day. This is silly. I mean, this is crazy. 19 years ago, Vince McMahon was making that same point over and over again. I remember him sitting there with that kind of Vince McMahon kind of snarl a little bit. He's like, we're bringing back smash mouth football. And it like you, I remember going, oh my God, I can't wait to see this. Like I can't. And and one of the things that he said was they weren't just going to be, hey, it's going to be a minor league, you know, where we're just going to groom talent. He thought that he could get guys to be stars, like that he could make stars, which he almost did with He Hate Me, Rod Smart. He almost did that.
Yeah, but was it more of a because we liked his nickname?
That was it, because the talent wasn't really there. Because, like he said, and I was with this friend of mine, and she was a really good reporter. And he said that the typical player that they're striving for was, remember Kurt Warner was bagging groceries and then became a Super Bowl star? Like, he was trying to find that guy. Like, he was saying that the league wants to find that guy. But her question, which I thought was really great, and he didn't really answer it very well, was she said the only reason we know Kurt Warner is because he played and won the Super Bowl. Like, you need a Super Bowl. If you want Kurt Warner, you need a Super Bowl. Like, the Kurt Warner story doesn't work if there's no big stage for him to accomplish this on. What is yours? And he kind of, you know, kind of. But Vince McMahon always thought the XFL would be a big part of, like it could be as big as wrestling was, right? Without the script. Like, if with his backing and his ability to promote, that it could get to a level where people would be talking about the XFL all the time and really interested in it and love it as a product. The problem that he had from it was when the ratings went down, he didn't have anything else behind the league to keep it stable, to keep it running. So it eventually just fell apart. It didn't fall apart immediately. I think it lasted another season after the first season. But it was really on, it was on kind of life support, because its whole existence was to be to get television behind it. That's what it was. So there wasn't any local ability to uproot. And by the way, football is really hard to do that because it's the most expensive thing you could create. But when America started turning away a little bit and they weren't as interested as in week 1, 2, and 3, it kind of fell apart. When they went over, I know I've told this story before. They had a game that had a power outage. It was in L.A. It went into like double overtime, and it went and it bumped up against Saturday Night Live, and it forced Saturday Night Live to play a rerun. And they had like Jennifer Lopez was on. That's when everyone was like, what are we doing with this thing? Remember they were doing, XFL was like, we're going to have cameras in the cheerleaders' locker room next week. Like, they were doing everything they could to try to get people to watch.
Yeah, and that was the problem, that it was too gimmicky for this.
Yeah, way too gimmicky.
Giving people nicknames. I mean, they did offer some cool things. I mean, they were the first to use that spider cam, which is awesome.
Really awesome.
When we watch them in the NFL.
But putting a football at midfield and having two guys run at it at top speed,
yeah,
that was probably not the wisest thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Concussion protocol, people going, that's just begging for it.
Well, you know what else? I remember Vince McMahon was a color commentator, and like, I think it was Rusty Tillman or something was a head coach, and Jesse was like, there was something going on at halftime. Like they didn't call timeout or something. It was like the New York team. And Jesse was, I can't believe this guy. I can't believe he would. And he was like ripping him on TV. And then the halftime reporter on the scene was going up to him going, Jesse, the Body Ventura just called you out. And he was like, I don't care what Jesse said at all. And that wasn't playing to script, right? That's not
right.
How that worked. Like, in wrestling, he was supposed to go, oh, really? Well, you tell Jesse I'll meet him outside the arena tomorrow night. And instead, the coach was like, I couldn't care less what anybody says at all. And then it didn't feel the same. That, you're right. It was too gimmicky. This AAFL didn't seem gimmicky, that it was trying to draw you in with something else. It was like, this is football. You love football. Come join us for football. It'll be fun. And it was pretty fun. I got to admit, it was pretty fun. SB Nation AM, it's SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us here on SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. Ron with two N's, please. The Pelicans warned by the NBA, do not sit Anthony Davis. If you're thinking about sitting Anthony Davis, don't, because we'll fine you. Every game that he's healthy that he doesn't play, you're going to get fined $100,000. With about 25 games left, that's $2.5 million if they set him out for the rest of the season. They don't seem to want to do that. Anthony Davis got booed. I wasn't surprised by getting booed. He said he wanted out. People, fans are fans. They love their city. They want you to love their city like they do. They don't like it when you kind of, if you diss the city, you diss them. You diss the team, you diss them. So I wasn't surprised by that. But I'll tell you this, the Pelicans are in a really tough situation to be in, because the only asset they have, right, is Anthony Davis. And in order to get the stockpile of talent that they want to get for Anthony Davis, he has to be healthy. Okay, so if you want the Knicks, for example, who may have the number one or number two pick in the draft, if you want the Knicks to put that in a trade package along with some, you know, some talent, maybe some future picks, whatever it is, so you can rebuild your team, Anthony Davis absolutely has to be healthy. If he tears an ACL, if he suffers a knee injury, if he busts his finger again, whatever it is, if Anthony Davis gets hurt in the next 25 games, the Pelicans are not going to get the value they need. But the NBA, on the flip side, needs to make sure that these teams play talented people to people get their money's worth. It's the league is so star driven. It's one of the reasons the ticket prices are what they are. Even if you're in a town that has a lousy NBA team, like Ron pointed out in Los Angeles. If you just love the NBA, get Clippers season tickets. You don't even have to like the Clippers. Just see the talent that's coming in. See the stars that are coming into play, right? But if the NBA, if each team was like, I'll just sit stars, and they do it consistently enough, and they do it a lot, it becomes a problem. And so the league is like, I don't want you tanking. And the Pelicans are like, but we need to keep him healthy. So this is an amazing, amazing fine line that the two are walking. Now, if you're the Pelicans, I think you have to publicly make the case. Hey, this is all we have. If you want us to be better, then Anthony Davis has to be healthy. And if he's hurt, no one is going to take care of us. You know, maybe, yeah, should we have traded him at the deadline? We didn't, but that's our prerogative not to do that, because we didn't like what was coming our way. Now, the league could say, yeah, well, you know, he's as long as he's on your roster and as long as you're paying him money, you have got to put the best product you can on the floor. And if you're actively sitting him, not for rest, because it's okay to sit a guy if it's a back-to-back or it's a long road trip or whatever, but if you're just sitting him to sit him, We're not going to let the precedent be that. We're not going to do that. We already had enough with Greg Popovich doing this when he was sitting stars in nationally televised games, and David Stern blew a gasket years ago, if you remember that. Right? They don't want teams tanking. They've altered the rules in the ping pong ball lottery so that the teams at the bottom are got more of an even chance of getting the number one pick than they used to. But the reason they changed it in the first place is because, like, Orlando got the first round pick twice. In back-to-back years. And they're like, wait a minute, we got to really help out the teams that really stink. But teams were tanking, actively tanking. I know the Celtics were in the mid-90s, late 90s. I knew the Celtics were tanking. I mean, ML Carr is admitted in an interview. Now, the Pelicans are, what can they do with an injured Anthony Davis? Well, somebody will trade for him. That's not the question, because injuries heal. But they're not going to get the value that they want. How do they get the value that they want? By limiting the risk, letting them sit. And yet the NBA is a product. This is one of those situations where, listen, Adam Silver, and you could go do this to anybody, Roger Goodell, Adam Silver, Gary Bettman, you know, Rob Manfred, any of the commissioners. Their overall goal is, what exactly are they, right? What they are is a entertainment vehicle that requires people to buy tickets to attend the games. And because of that, what are they selling? Well, they're selling a combination, right? Entertainment, fandom, right? The games, you know, matter, right? All of those things. If you mess with that, if you mess with that to a point where the product is not good, it does affect you. It does affect your bottom line. It trickles. It's not a massive walkout or whatever, but it trickles enough where people are a little bit more cautious about buying tickets to your game. I always tell my daughter loves Steph Curry, and I got two places I can take her on a weekend. I can take her to Atlanta to see him. I can take her to Memphis to see her, to see him. But I'm always nervous, right? Because those are big commitments for me. Those are both about 4 hours away, 3 hours to Memphis, 4 hours to Atlanta. If we make a weekend out of it where the family goes down and we catch this game, it's good, you know, four tickets, whatever, $50 a ticket, whatever it is, hotel. But what if he doesn't play? And the only reason she wants to go is to see him play. Like, what if he doesn't play? Those are issues that are on the table. You want competitive games, but the approach has to, but the Pelicans are like, yeah, but I don't care. Like, how do I build my team with an Anthony Davis with a blown ACL now?
Right, and I think what part of the problem is the public perception. We, you know, we'll go crazy over Nike having a shoe that's a limited release, and that's kind of what we see here in the, or what we're seeing in the NBA, where they're not wanting to throw Anthony Davis out there because, you know, maybe he has an injury, but he's been cleared to play. Maybe he has a little knock. We don't really know the full details. Maybe they're just keeping him on the bench so that way when it is time to come and trade him this offseason, they can get the most amount of money. Because at the end of the day, I don't think what we like as fans is knowing that this is a business.
Yeah, that's right.
We want that curtain to keep us from realizing that it's a business, and we just want it to be entertainment.
Right. Listen, we talk about this with Trevor Lawrence in the NFL. If I'm a Steeler fan, you're a Charger fan, both of our quarterbacks are aging. Both of our quarterbacks came in the same year, right? So Lawrence is coming out in what, 2021?
Yep.
Right? Okay, so
got it circled on my calendar.
Yeah, exactly.
Trevor Lawrence Day.
Looks like he could be the next franchise quarterback, right? Well, we'll see, but you know, what he has looks like he could be that. Okay, if I looked ahead and I saw that the year before Lawrence comes out in the draft, the Steelers were 2-14. Would I hate that? No, not at all. I wouldn't hate that at all. I'm willing to sacrifice that season if it means getting a friend. It's that important. It's that important to the success of a team.
Would you be that upset if they, you know, wheeled and dealed and made some bold trades where they traded away, you know, a top talent on their team to get the number one draft pick? You sit there like, yeah, but you know what? I see what the long term plan is. I'm not upset with that.
Right. Exactly. So If you're a Pelicans fan, you are looking at this differently than Anthony Davis stopping off in Chicago to play in front of the hometown crowd, right? Like it's a much different look. If you're a Pelicans fan, you're a diehard Pelicans fan, you see the long game, right? Well, I don't want a guy. I don't really care about seeing a guy that doesn't want to be here. I need to make sure he's healthy because, man, I want Zion Williamson. And I might get Zion Williamson if Anthony Davis is healthy and like a team like the Knicks are willing to sacrifice the number one pick if they should land it to get Zion Williamson. But I'll tell you right now, Anthony Davis with a torn MCL in his knee is not going to get that kind of package. So I'm a Pelicans fan. That's what I want. The flip side of that is, well, the games aren't going to be competitive. He's not going to play. The team is actively tanking, and I don't care. But the league as a whole goes, I can't have tanking. Because if I have tanking, if I have open tanking, I can't have that. I need to know that these games are being competitive. You know, people always talk about throwing games, right? Like, actively tanking, like in the NFL. Right? People say like, oh, well, should the Broncos lose all their games or whatever? Name a team. It doesn't matter. Pretty much all of them have gone through this. Should they lose?
Well, we thought the Raiders were actually doing.
Right, actively doing it. The problem is that tanking can really, in the NBA, because the contracts are guaranteed, yeah, you might get some guys be like, yeah, all right, whatever, we could use a better player. The NFL is really hard. The NFL is really hard to get to tell guys, hey, I missed some tackles on purpose. Nobody wants tape of them doing stuff that is detrimental to their competitiveness, right? Nobody wants tape of, you know, you running the ball for 2 yards, riding right into the line of scrimmage and tackles and missing your assignments. Nobody wants that. So it's hard to do. You do it with coaching, right? You do it with coaching and you do it with, you know, personnel. ML Carr talked about, for example, he had this interview with Jackie McMullen where he talked about how the Celtics openly tanked like the 90s. They wanted the number one pick for Tim Duncan and they openly tanked. He talked about the roster that they would put together. They put it on the floor. It was like embarrassing. But that was what he was supposed to do. That's how ML Carr did it. He put out a roster that was terrible. He didn't tell the players to purposely miss shots. That would be violating a real bad code. But he did it with certain rosters at certain times, rest, and you know how he manipulated that. That's how you do it. If you're the Pelicans, you get that. If you're a Pelicans fan, you get that. If you're Adam Silver, this is a nightmare because you don't want this. You don't want the competitiveness of your league, what you define yourself as, to be tainted. The problem is with Adam Silver is it's always been tainted. Teams have done this forever and a day. It's kind of with the territory. You kind of expect it. What do you think the process was, for crying out loud, in Philadelphia, right? I mean, it was there are teams who actively do this. They're just not open about it. And if you catch them, you catch them, but it's hard to catch them because there's always players with, knee trouble, right? Or whatever it is. And that's just the way the NBA is. This fine that the NBA wants to give out to Anthony Davis sitting, 10 grand for every game they sit? For every game he sits? Like if he's a healthy scratch? That seems a little unfair.
God, how much would Pop love to be told that?
Pop, yeah. 10 grand. Remember Popovich did this all... I always thought he did it in spite of David Stern.
That's what it always felt like.
I always thought he did it just to stick the middle finger up at David Stern for whatever reason.
You got the Wednesday night marquee game.
Yeah.
You're not going to see Duncan play.
It was always Spurs against like LeBron and the Heat. Remember like back in the day?
Yeah.
And he would go, yeah, big three are sitting out. It's a second game of a road trip. I don't want to play him.
Had an excuse David, every single time.
Every time, and David Stern will be in his office just screaming because TNT or ESPN or whoever was who had the game would be on the other end going, what are you talking about? He's putting together half a roster. And David Stern would just be like, I'm going to talk today, Greg Popovich, and I'm going to let him know.
But you know what was funny about that? What was funny about that is that, you know, Popovich was able to get away with it, but, you know, God forbid LeBron decided to sit because then it became national attention that, like, oh, my God, you know what? My son, Johnny, we've saved up our money all season long just to watch you play, and you're sitting.
Oh, yeah. Popovich was a genius. Popovich was doing it for the long term, right? I mean, that was always people that were excusing it would always say that about Popovich. You would like, well, he's playing the long game. He's not playing the short game. He's managing for the season. Well, shut up. You can play on a Wednesday night in Miami for a nationally televised crowd. Give me this nonsense. You got to sit everybody.
Throw him out for 5 minutes. God, that's all we're saying.
Get it. 800-777-2907 is the number. It's Tony D, Ron Culver. It is SB Nation AM. Coming up, old man may actually be victorious today, but what they didn't get at Pebble Beach is the story. That's next.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, my boy Phil Mickelson is about ready to win the Pebble Beach today when it's all said and done. He's got to go back out to play the final two holes. He's got a 3-shot lead over Paul Casey. Played great on Sunday. See the weather out there? Unbelievable. They actually had hail.
Yeah.
It was great. It was so great. Course was soft. Umbrellas were out. I watched a little bit of it on Friday. I saw Tony Romo, and he made a birdie from like a hospitality tent, which was the big story. Then Romo left for Wade Wilson's funeral, who passed away. So he had to leave early for the tournament. But Mickelson's about ready to win. But here's the thing with Pebble Beach. It's where the U.S. Open is going to be this year. And none of the players got, because of the weather, none of the players could do what they call advanced scouting, where they know the conditions are going to be different for the U.S. Open, but they'll do, you know, they'll try different things during practice rounds where they think the U.S. Open is going to be set up. They'll do some, you know, they're there for that tournament, but in reality, they're prepping for the Open. So if they can, if they can be on a course before the U.S. Open, they'll do a bunch of things during practice rounds. But they couldn't do anything because the weather was so terrible and the course was so soft. And it's going to be such a different beast when it comes June that none of the players got any advantage to see how the U.S. Open was going to look or how it was going to be set up when it gets there in June. Now, if you're Mickelson, you've played Pebble Beach a billion times, so it doesn't really matter. But some of the younger guys who don't play it very often, in fact, some of them don't even play this tournament. It was an opportunity to see what the course would look like, and they can't. Because Mother Nature was like, screw that. Yeah. We're going to have hail and rain.
But honestly, though, when it comes to the elements, I think this was a test for the Open.
Exactly. Oh, exactly.
The Open never has nice weather. It's always balmy, windy. You don't know what's going to happen.
It's so funny that you mentioned that because Nick Faldo, on Friday's telecast, they were on a hole or wherever, and I think it was with Romo's group. And the wind, you could just see the wind is just ruffling the pants, and you know it's just the waves are crashing. And they're having a conversation. He's Dottie Pepper, him and another guy are talking about the worst conditions they ever played in a tournament, and it's at Pebble Beach that they bring this up because they're looking at the ocean. And it's like, should we even be out here? It's like this was.
Is it safe?
Is it even safe to be out here? We're like on cliffs near the ocean. Should we be playing golf? But Phil Mickelson, 48, going to be 49 years old. He's about ready to win a PGA tournament. Good for him, man. Phil Mickelson, old man getting it done.